sports professor Rick Caro, Beyond the Scoreboard, the serious show that doesn't take itself too seriously. But you've got to, because it's a trillion-dollar sports business, and nobody sleeps, not even during the holidays, and we certainly don't. Been involved in the sports business for over 30 years, and lecturing at Harvard Law and Harvard Business School, and putting deals together for the NFL and NBA and otherwise. You see what sports does for people, and certainly charitable aspects as well. Today, Pat Williams, one of the most charitable individuals, including one of the best basketball folks ever, NBA Hall of Famer he could be, for any number of teams. We'll get into that in a few minutes. And we've got our top issues to look at for the week. All today, Beyond the Scoreboard, Rick Caro. Special holiday edition, Beyond the Scoreboard, issue one, sports and charities. Next week, we'll talk about the top business and legal and news and marketing issues of 2016 and give you my list. Then the week after, we'll project ahead to the top issues of 2017. I'll give you my list and we'll see how many of them come true at the end of the year. Join us, by the way, on Stitcher, Google Play, Audio Boom. Subscribe to our iTunes feed. You can hear us in a lot of different places, and we're beginning a larger relationship with a number of different people. We'll publish our 15 to watch as well. You'll be hearing about that shortly. Today we have an honor of actually dealing with one of my really good friends. He pushed the Orlando Magic into the NBA about the same time as I was trying to promote the Miami Heat in the mid-80s. It's a long time ago. But Pat Williams is a senior vice president of the NBA's Orlando Magic. He's addressed thousands of executives, numerous Fortune 500 companies. That's not his biggest issue. He's the author of over 71 books. 71 books. He's served as 7 years in the United States Army, 7 years in the Phillies organization, but he's known as the general manager for teams in Chicago, Atlanta, Philadelphia 76ers, including the 83 world champion Sixers, and now the Magic. And he did co-found them in 87 when I was involved with the Heat. By the way, 23 of his teams gone on to the NBA playoffs, and 5 made it to the NBA Finals. He traded away Pete Maravich and traded for Julius Erving, Moses Malone, Penny Hardaway, drafted Charles Barkley, Shaq, Maurice Cheeks, Andrew Toney, Daryl Dawkins. So he understands his basketball. More important, he understands life. He understands charity. Pat and his wife Ruth, parents of 19 children, 14 adopted from four nations, ranging in age from the mid-20s to the late 30s. For 1 year, 16 of his children were all teenagers at the same time. How about that? He and his family featured in Sports Illustrated, Reader's Digest, Good Housekeeping, Family Circle, Wall Street Journal. We don't even have to get into all that. The bottom line is there is nobody better during the holiday season to talk about business, sports, and life. Pat Williams.
Rick Caro keeping score in the boardroom yet again, and this is it's inspirational to me because we have some of the kind of contemporary young folks who are just getting into the business from time to time on this show. We know we have all kinds, but yet I'm really honored to have somebody who I consider a good friend. He's been involved in sports as long as I can remember. He's been a general manager since 1968. He was involved in leading the 83 world champion Sixers. He basically founded the Magic. There were other people involved, but he was involved as well. And with his 500 or more companies that he speaks to around the country and his 19 children and his 100 books that he's written, I don't even know if he has time to be on this show, so we'll speak pretty quickly. Pat Williams, how are you?
Rick, nice to hear from you, and always good to catch up with you. I appreciate the call.
Anytime. So first of all, before we even start about the Magic and about Dr. J and about the current folks in the NBA and the Sixers and the like, tell me about the book, the latest one that you've done and you're proud of.
Rick, it's called Humility, and I take the position that humility is a characteristic that we can learn. I don't think you're born with it. I think we need to be taught the importance of having a humble spirit. And I've been very fortunate in my life in sports to observe and watch and see the power of a humble spirit in a John Wooden or a Lamar Hunt, a Julius Erving comes to mind, Dr. Billy Graham, and others who just have a wonderful touch and way with people, because despite their position of great wealth or great power, they don't flaunt it, and they live a life of humility. So that's left a deep imprint on my life, and I've tried to pass that along in this book, that there's great power and great strength in the possession of a humble spirit. And we can all work at that, and we can all improve and become better in that department.
Certainly we all can, and it's a book with teachings, and clearly it resonates with your experience in life and in sports. How could it not? I would just ask generally, you did mention Dr. J, who is a friend, and clearly elegant is the way to describe him, I think. And you also mentioned others of that ilk, John Wooden and the like. There is always the discussion, I guess, that Charles Barkley, who you drafted, argued early on, I don't know if he still adheres to this position, that we're not athletes, are not role models, and that you got to have other role models, and that what kind of responsibility, Pat, do you think is created by being a professional athlete in terms of giving back and doing the right thing?
Well, Rick, I think that it's part of your obligation, and I would argue with my friend Charles that athletes, yes, you are a role model. The way you act, the way that you conduct yourself, the way you handle yourself, what you say on and off the court is leaving a deep imprint. And young people and older alike are watching, and we all want, listen, Rick, we all are desperate for heroes in this country. We want heroes, and we don't have cowboys anymore. We don't have military leaders. We have coaches, and we have athletes, you know, who really are our heroes today, although the military are our true heroes. But I'm arguing that you get into the sports business, you're on stage, you're known, you're watched. And I argue that you've got an obligation to your many, many fans to live your life the right way, to live it properly. And entwined with that is a truly humble spirit. That's going to permeate and touch everything you do.
The spirit is clearly an inspiration in and of itself. And this is not a political question, and don't take it this way, but now we mercifully, in my mind, have 8-9 days, whatever it is, until the rhetoric of this campaign is over. And I've just authored a piece on, you contrast what is going on in Cleveland and Chicago, respectively, with basketball and baseball in Cleveland and baseball in Chicago, and what sports can do to bring people together. And I guess you could argue, regardless of the political fence you're on, that after the rhetoric of this campaign, I think America needs healing more than ever, and maybe sports can be part of that solution. What's your take on that?
Rick, I like that. I like that take. Sports is always the solution, whether it was after the tragic days of 9/11, when sports was shut down for a few days. It was at that point that I realized how important sports is to this country. You know, those 4 days after 9/11, the whole world stopped, and there was no sports to follow. And we had lost our sideline that keeps all of us going, whether it's college football or a major league pennant race or any of the sports. I mean, that's really what provides America with joy and rooting interest and all. It just permeates our soul as residents of this country. So to me, sports is always the solution, after we've gone through tough times. And I think after this long election period. I think back to the primaries. That seems like 10 years ago. You know, I think we're all going to be relieved when this is over and we can get back to living our lives normally or more normally.
Well, I think we're ready for a mutual search for civility, but that's not what this interview is about. It's about a whole bunch of different things from the perspective of Pat Williams. Speaking of perspective, as far as basketball is concerned, you've been in the league for 957 years. And if you have a magic wand that would be given to you by Adam Silver for a day, what would you change?
Oh, that's a good question. I wouldn't change anything with the rules. I think they're fine. I think the magnitude and the sweep of the game, you know, around the world is enormous. You know, I wouldn't change anything there. I think we've fine-tuned the rules, Rick. They're just about as perfect as we can get them. I don't know. If I could change anything, I'd bring back Mindy Rudolph.
That's great.
I'd bring back Jake O'Donnell. You know, I'd bring back Dick Bavetta.
History is what you'd bring back as well. And I think you'd probably bring back
Earl Strom. I'd give anything to see Earl make a call.
Wow.
One more time.
Let the record reflect that Pat Williams had the ability to change anything he wanted to in the NBA, and his answer was to bring back three referees. Well, good for you. Good for you. Hey, so the other piece of the business side of this is that the salaries are higher than you could have ever envisioned, I assume, and a lot of it is the function directly of the increased revenue share out of TV. Are we in a position now where we're at a crossroads where everything's getting so expensive, we've got to really worry about pricing the average fan out of existence, or is the league going to survive like it always has?
Well, Rick, you're right, and we've got to be very, very careful about how we price our buildings. We've got to be very careful that we don't price the normal fan out of coming to enjoy an NBA ballgame. That's something that each franchise has to be alert to and wrestle with and make sure they handle properly according to their market. But you're right. It's been a very positive sign that this kind of money is coming to the league. The TV contracts are staggering, and the players share in their portion of that. And so this past summer, we saw some very, very big contracts. But we can afford them, and the players are part of that family, part of that team, and they've earned it. And so thus the price of being a basketball player has gone up, and that's good news for the players, and it'll eventually settle down again. But right now it was a good year to be a free agent.
Yeah, true, and it'll be a good year to be a free agent this year as well, as we know. Are the Magic looking up from your perspective? Does it look like you're turning the corner? How's long-term look for your team?
Yeah, we feel good, Rick. We've got a nice nucleus of young players, made some moves in the offseason that should be helpful, particularly up front where we feel we'll be bigger and stronger and better equipped defensively. So we like our nucleus. We like the team we put together. We're very fond of our new coach, Frank Vogel, who joins us after many, many years in Indiana. Feel that he's the right guy to fit in here. So there's a good positive feeling.
So perfect timing, and it's always great to talk with you. What are your plans for the next 80, 90 years or so, Pat Williams?
Well, I've got another book coming in February, Rick, so I've got to be around long enough to do that. We've got 17 grandchildren now that we're helping to get educated as well. So I'm probably going to need those years you just mentioned to get it all done. So I continue to pray for good health, and I've got plenty on my platter, that's for sure.
As usual, one of the NBA and sports most amazing statesmen, as well as someone that you can learn life lessons from, Pat Williams.
Pat Williams can certainly tell us about basketball. He can tell us about business. He can tell us about communication. And most important, from my perspective anyway, he can tell us about life, especially significant over the holidays. Let's now look at our 15 to watch, except we're going to deal with the top five today. We'll also have an opportunity to look at all 15 from now on in text version on our site. Next week, the top 15 from 2016. The week after, the top 15 for 2017. But here are our top five for this week, 5-1. Number five, defending NBA champion Cleveland Cavaliers pushing forward with a $140 million upgrade of Quicken Loans Arena. It should make it a favorite to land a future All-Star game and other events. The plan to make the 22-year-old arena competitive by creating more space for dining, bars, public gatherings, and I presume LeBron's dunks. The cost for the project split between local taxpayers and the Cavs. The exiting taxes on hotel rooms and arena tickets set to pay most of the public share. Facility will be open during construction, and the upgrade should all be complete by 2020. The plan still needs to be approved by both the county and city councils and Destination Cleveland's board of directors. Civic leaders fear that without a renovation, Cleveland will stop attracting the top entertainment acts, even though obviously the Cavs are going to stay at the queue regardless. And here's my take. The Cavaliers have become the definitive civic support mechanism for the Cleveland region, especially with their unexpected comeback last June. The upgraded facility will also provide a catalyst for mega events like All-Star and other NBA events and other basketball events. They should act additionally to impact the city, which was once referred to, by the way, as the mistake by the lake. That's number five. Number four, the MLB has a diverse player pool, but a complete lack of diversity on the management level. But it's ramping up to push to fix that problem. Commissioner Rob Manfred and his staff attempting to push through an ambitious culture shift at every level of a sport, still run by older white guys, bringing up this issue at the league's winter meetings. The league now launching new initiatives as part of its social responsibility outreach, aimed at every team under MLB's reach, from minor league franchises all the way to the 2016 champion Cubs. On things like diversity and social responsibility, you have to keep beating people over the head at the meetings. Baseball people so busy and they're so focused on other stuff, you got to keep reinforcing it whenever you do it, said MLB Chief Legal Officer Dan Halem. And here's my take. Now that labor peace has been firmly extended again, Commissioner Manfred sees a mandate to improve certain aspects of the game. Diversity rises to the top of that list. And that's number four. Number three, the NFL playing more games overseas in recent years, the trend only accelerates going forward. NFL Executive VP International Mark Waller lays out the foundation of a strategic plan in which the league hopes to develop a following that makes the NFL at least a top five sport in five different countries. Obviously, the United States, football most popular, but the league hopes to grow in the UK, Canada, China, Mexico, and Germany. And as part of NFL International Series, three games played in London this season and another in Mexico City. The three games in London drew about 250,000 fans, but the league made its most notable progress in the broadcast market. The BBC airs two NFL-related programs during the season, one on Tuesday nights and one on Saturdays. And here's my take. As the NFL finalizes its franchise musical chairs for the Raiders and Chargers, presumably before Super Bowl 51, emphasis shifts to looking at other markets, domestically and internationally. Games in these countries are really not as important as the grassroots foundation laid, youth football, fan avidity, corporate support, and the like. And that's number three. Number two, in the Windy City, Tiger Woods taking the lead in an innovative golf course renovation. Even Woods prepares to get back into competition at the beginning of 2017, but his second phase of his career in TGR design is making strides also. Following successful unveilings of golf courses designed in Texas and Mexico, Woods received the nod for the renovation in two nine-hole Chicago golf courses that have aspirations of hosting PGA Tour events. Jackson Park and South Shore will be renovated by Woods' TGR design firm and combined into an 18-hole championship golf course. On Sunday, Mayor Rahm Emanuel announced the formation of the Chicago Parks Golf Alliance, a nonprofit charged with improving Chicago Park District courses and golf facilities, expanding youth golf programs, and most significantly, raising money to make the $30 million Jackson Park South Shore project a reality. And here's my take. Chicago Park District Superintendent Michael Kelly said the goal is to have an 80-20 split of private and public money and like the recently announced Indy Women and Tech Golf Championship, presented and sponsored by Guggenheim, the project represents a terrific investment by the golf industry and corporate America in the next generation. And that's number two. Finally, number one, the scene shifts to San Diego, and it's still a wonderful college football life there. The National Funding Holiday Bowl, as announced, will remain intact after the University of Minnesota football team ends its boycott of all activities after players, for the first time, absorbed the painful details of a lengthy report on the sexual assault investigation that led to 10-player suspensions, according to the Minneapolis Star Tribune. Details of the 80-page report revealed to most players late Friday changed the narrative of the situation. And facing heavy national criticism, the players knew they were losing negotiating leverage. The boycotting Minnesota players sought to have their 10 teammate suspensions lifted before traveling to play Washington State in the December 27 bowl game, but meetings with Board of Regents members as well as conferences with UM President Eric Kaler and AD Mark Coyle did not produce the concessions the players sought. And here's my take. On the pro football side, San Diego fans are becoming resigned to the increasing likelihood the Chargers will play their last game in town in a couple of weeks, as Chair Dean Spanos has realistically run out of economic options in the market. And there you have it. Number one, our top five to watch this holiday week, 5-1. And that's our show, ladies and gentlemen. We'd like to thank Pat Williams for providing such incredible perspective on sports, basketball, and life. If you like it, iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, Audio Boom, and obviously the NBC family of networks. Happy holiday. Next week, the top list of sports business from 2016. The week after, 2017, sports professor Rick Haro. Happy holidays. Beyond the Scoreboard.